How can I live my life through? You went away, and since that day, how can I live my life through?
All we try, however, brothers and sisters, the result is not in our hands. The result is in the hands of Allah. Always, this is the principle. Because this principle of change and transformation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma bi anfusih ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. This ayah gives us a clear perspective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who ultimately brings about the transformation. Our duty is to work and strive, but the transformation is brought about by Allah. And when we do not understand that, when we do not understand the role that Allah is in charge and that the process must be guided, must be sanctioned by divine authority, then we can be far astray. And Imam Hussein demonstrated that principle when there's a poet by the name of Farazdaq in the history of Karbala, who he had made the Hajj and he had met Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein asked him about the situation in Kufa. And his response was, you have asked a good question. The hearts of the people are with you, but their swords are against you. He made that famous statement. قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَكُمْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. Their hearts, their qalb are with you, their qulub are with you, but their swords are against you. You might wonder, well, what kind of contradiction is that? But let's think about it. The decision, he continued, the decision comes from heaven and Allah does what he wishes. The decision comes from heaven and Allah does what he wishes. What, and Imam Hussein replied, you have spoken truly of the affair belonging to Allah. That the affair is totally in the hands of Allah. He continues, every day he is involved in every matter. This is from chapter 55, verse 29. If fate sends down what we like and are pleased with, we praise Allah for his blessings. He is the one from whom help should be sought in order to give thanks to him. However, although fate may frustrate our hopes, yet he does not destroy the souls of those whose intention is the truth and whose hearts are pious. The matter is in the hands of Allah. We have to understand that. Many people who are identifying with Islam in this time do not understand this principle, brothers and sisters. The principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. And also the principle that the revolution must have divine authority. It must be based on divine authority. It says, Inna Allah, surely Allah is the one who makes the change. And other ayat point to the same principle. When we reflect on the ayat, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. He it is who sent his messenger with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may cause it to prevail, that he, Allah, may cause it to prevail over all other ways of living. Even though the mushrikeen people, the polytheists, are averse to this, Allah sends and he makes it prevail. This is the principle of divine authority. Allah sends. Who alladhi arsala rasulahu? He sent his rasul. He sent his rasul. The rasul, by divine command, identified the continuity of the message through imamate. And the imam of the time identify the continuity of that responsibility through the ulama and the wilayatul faqih and that principle of the governance of the jurisprudent, the just jurisprudent, who has the qualifications to be the deputy of the imam of the time. It has to be. So any revolution, any Islamic process of transformation has to be based on this authority, this chain of command. Without that, it cannot be successful. And so many have tried, but it cannot achieve that success without this chain of authority. And many are people doing things in the name of Islam today that has no connection with authority. I'm giving Islam a brand of terrorism. They are strapping themselves and moving into crowds of innocent people, the same people who we are supposed to be Wali and Nasir for, as identified in Surah 4, verse 75. Men and women and children, they're blowing them up. Craziness. This has nothing to do with divine authority, divine sanction. Where did it come from? Where is this coming from? This has no divine sanction.
A youth with high prospect duties he did not neglect, abandoned hopes to protect the faith that he did respect through sacrifice. Though a youth with high prospects, duties he did not neglect, abandoned hopes to protect the faith that he did respect through sacrifice.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses matters. When you go to chapter 3, we see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses matters from among you. You don't up and choose to become a martyr yourself. Imam Hussein did not go on a suicide mission. May Allah forbid. Imam Hussein went on his mission to create Islah, transformation of the Ummah of his Rasul, of his grandfather, and to bring about the reform, bring the community back to the seerah. So a lot of people also talk about seerah. A lot of fanaticism is going on. They're talking about a lot of seerah, but they're not looking at this institution of seerah. So it was, brothers and sisters, that we look at the people of Kufa who are saying that our hearts are with you. 18,000 of them made pledge to Muslim bin Aqil. And after that, they became afraid. They were intimidated. They were told the Syrians are coming. Women are telling their men, be careful. The Syrians are coming. And men are telling other men, what are you doing? Are you creating fitna in the community? All sorts of excuses to get away from joining the Imam Hussein and taking up the struggle. So this is a dimension that we have to be careful about. People can come in to the process when we are on a path, a correct path, and they can try to divert us because of a material goal, not because of any just reason. So a threat has come and people become coward and they decide to leave out Imam Hussein, leave out Muslim. 18,000 dropped to 30, and at Salat al-As, he looked back and there was none after the Salat. People deserted the Imam. People who had pledged allegiance to him, yet they deserted. But do you think that deterred the Muslim from his path? It did not. Muslim maintained his path down to the end. And They tried all how to intimidate Muslim. And even his friend who he was staying by, after he moved from the first house where he was staying, his friend Hani was also intimidated. There was an attempt to break him, but he did not break. And he was imprisoned, and eventually he also was beheaded. Muslim, he looked for a refuge, and he moved throughout Kufa looking for this refuge. No one, except an old lady, gave him a refuge. And then, that lady's son betrayed him. And when they came for him, he didn't just surrender himself. He fought, and he fought bravely. He stood up and faced the enemy and gave a good account of himself. All that time, Imam Hussein did not know what was going on, that Muslim and Hani were being killed. So he received the Muslim's message, first message, that 18,000 people have taken the pledge. So come down. So he sent Qais bin Mushir al-Saidawi. Qais went to Kufa with the letter. However, when he reached al-Qadisiyah, al-Husayn bin Numair apprehended him and sent him to Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad ordered him to go up on the pulpit and curse the liar al-Husayn bin Ali. Peace be upon him. Okay, I have to go up and curse. He goes up on the pulpit. He praises and glorifies Allah, and then he says, "People, this man, al-Husayn bin Ali, the best of Allah's creatures, the son of Fatima, the daughter of the apostle, may Allah bless him and his family and grant them peace, is nearby. I am his messenger to you. Answer him." Then he cursed Ubaidullah bin Ziyad and his father and prayed for forgiveness for Ali bin Abi Talib and blessed him. Ubaidullah ordered him to be thrown down from the top of the palace. They threw him and he was smashed to pieces, but not before demonstrating the noble approach of jihad bilisan. He spoke the truth in the face of a tyrant ruler, knowing that it would lead to his death and martyrdom. That was the kind of example we have, brothers and sisters. We have another example of another beautiful friend of Imam Hussein, Zuhair bin Al-Qain al-Baja. Imam Hussein sent for him. He had asked him to come. Of course, his followers, they started to get, you know, what we call it, horrors. You know, they started to become worried because they know that Hussein is a path that is going to lead to death for sure. Subhanallah, Zuhair's wife said to him, this is the wife of Zuhair. And here we are seeing that anchoring role of the Muslim woman, the Muslim sister. She said to him, "Did the son of the Messenger of Allah send for you? Then aren't you going to him? If you went to him, you would hear what he had to say. Then you could leave him if you wanted." So she put him in the spot, and he had to respond. But Zuhair had made up his mind already. He went across to Imam Hussein. It was not long before he returned to announce that he was heading east. He ordered his tent to be struck and called for his luggage, his mounts, and his equipment. His tent was pulled down and taken to al-Hussein, alayhi salam. Then he said to his wife, "You are divorced. Go back to your family, for I do not want anything to befall you except good." Then he said to his companions, "Whoever wants to follow me may do so. Otherwise, he is at the end of his covenant with me. That is, he is released from obedience to follow Zuhair as the leader of his tribal group. I will tell you a story of something which happened to me once. We were raiding a rich land. Allah granted us victory and we won a lot of booty. Salman al-Farisi, the mercy of Allah be on him, said to us, 'Are you happy with the victory which Allah has granted you and the booty you have won?' We said, 'Yes.' Then he said, 'Therefore, when you meet the Lord of the young men of the family of Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, be happier to fight with him, be happier to fight with them, him and his band, than you are with the booty which you have obtained today. As for me, I pray that Allah may be with you.'" And this Zuhair remained among the people with Al-Hussein until he was killed. Brothers and sisters, we have to ask the question, what was their sin? What was their crime? What was these people's transgression that they had to be treated this way? You had 18 family members of the Prophet of Allah who just 50 years ago had passed away. We are talking about not a long time. It's like if we are here now and we're talking about 1958, he was killed. He passed away. 50 years. And this Ummah has gone through this level of transformation that it could bring about this type of atrocity. We have to reflect on Imam Hussein's approach. How did he move? What did he do? He did not go alone. He could have gone with just the male members, but he went with everyone. Women, children, from 6 months baby to 90-year-old were all represented at Karbala. There is an example for every one of us, whether we are a young man, a young woman, a mature man, a mature woman, a little boy. Muslim, the sons of Muslim, they were 8 and 10 years old. Young boys, gallant boys. They tried to avert being captured so that they could reach back to Imam Hussein and give him the news that their father was betrayed. And you, Imam, are betrayed. So don't go to Kufa. But that was not to be. They were eventually assisted by the wife of Harith, who gave them refuge, but at the same time cautioned that her husband, Harith, was working with Ibn Ziyad. And he is about reward. He is looking for gold. So said, so done. He came home that night and he discovered these boys. And he took the position that he has to kill them and get the reward that was out for their capture. So he carried them to the banks of the Euphrates. And sensing that they were going to kill him, they asked him to perform their prayer. 8 and 10 years old. Most of us are not even praying at that age. But they asked to perform their prayer first. And having done that, they made the gallant remark, which I want to quote from the history of Karbala. They raised their hands and cried out, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." O Allah, we are coming to you. Give our mother courage when she hears of our death and judge between us and our killers. The sword came down. There were splashes in the water and 2 young bodies were seen floating away in the waters of the river Furat. Peace be upon these young boys, Muslim and his sons, the day they were born and the day they were martyred and the day they will be raised alive. Brothers and sisters, before I break for, if you have any comments, addition, I want to recite a little poem which I did about martyrs never die. It begins with a quotation from Hadith. "Verily, with the martyrdom of Hussein, there will be a wave of heat that will be unleashed that will never cool down." And then an ayah of Quran. "Think not of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. No, no, no. They are alive, but you do not understand. Cowards die 10 times before the time they really die, but heroes never die. So you can threaten my army or pay them to betray me, then break your treaty with ruthless treachery. In my own house, an enemy you set up to betray me and poison me fatally. But then you will die. But never will I, because martyrs never die. Yeah, Muawiyah, alayka al-hawiyah, you will die. But never will I, Hassan bin Ali, because martyrs never die. You can send 1,000-man army to capture little me. You can fight, you can frighten those who call me and make them desert me and run from the Salat line and leave me all alone to die. Then try me and find me guilty. Execute me, behead me, tired and lonely, and throw down my body from high. But then you will die. But never will I, because martyrs never die. Yes, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, alayhi al-hawiyah, you will die. But Muslim bin Aqil will never die. You can burn our tents, steal our hijabs, bleed our ears, beat us for tears, rub us our ears, put us in chains on camels without saddles, insulted by those we meet, put us in your prison and punctuate the roadway with our graves. But then you will die. But never will I, because martyrs never die. Yes, Yazid, la'natullah, alayhi, will die. But never will I, Zainab bin Aliyah, bint Ali, will never die. Because martyrs never die. You can starve me, leave me thirsty, beat me up, chop me up, spears to my body, arrows on every spot. You can take off my head and leave me for dead from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Sham. My head will carry on reciting Al-Quran. Then you will die. But never will I, because martyrs never die. Yazid has died. Umar Saad has died. Ibn Ziyad has died. Shimr has died. All with curses of the Most High. But Hussein will never die, because heroes never die.